The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Before we jump in, make sure you leave that five-star rating and review. I would greatly appreciate it. We're going to jump right into it. I have a very interesting headline and article that I just have to talk about. And basically what's going on is the mayor of Kansas City is proposing an ordinance that will prevent landlords from discriminating against Section 8 tenants. So I'm going to talk about why I think this is a terrible idea. So the first thing we'll do is we'll check out the news clip or part of the news clip, and then I'll let you know my thoughts. So let's jump into the clip.
Community advocates from KC Tenants declared victory on Thursday as Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas introduces an ordinance banning source of income discrimination. These activists say landlords have refused to accept Section 8 vouchers for low-income housing, demanding instead to know where a renter's paycheck comes from. KC Tenants says that's discrimination against people of color, tip workers, the disabled, and military veterans, among others.
This is discrimination, plain and simple. Yeah. This discrimination impacts Black single mothers more than anyone else.
I've had a lot of people have thought that it was already illegal. It was up to us to make sure that we fought to make sure that this common sense thing is common.
Source of income discrimination is already banned in six other major U.S. cities and in six additional states, too. Mayor Lucas says he's rallied for a ban on source of income discrimination since he was a city council member. The mayor says 49% of Kansas Cityans rent their homes.
What is wrong with lawful income being part of how people can pay their rent? What is wrong with making sure that people of all different walks of life can have an opportunity to live in our city?
All right, so let's get a couple of things straight. It is not discrimination if a landlord decides not to rent to someone because they have a Section 8 voucher. What they're not sharing in this clip is that in many cities, the Section 8 program is run terribly. For example, in the city I invest in, out in Ohio, I inquired with Section 8. They were supposed to send me an owner's packet. They never sent it. And it was a constant chase to trying to figure out what exactly I needed to do. And so these folks claim they want to help people who are low income. Then why are the programs run so terribly? Then you have the inspection and you have all these things you need to do to get approved for Section 8. And all the while, someone could have a regular market rate tenant instead of jumping through the hoops of Section 8. So during these times when you're trying to get approved and all these things, landlords are losing money. The majority of us here listening are mom and pop landlords. We don't have 50, 100 units, and we can't withstand not having that income over a long period of time. And so that's something that's a reality for most of us here listening, you know? And I think that's something that's not being taken into account when it comes to this headline. And so, you know, the other problem I have with Section 8 at large is that there's not many incentives for landlords to participate in the program. You know, if there are damages or various things that go wrong, there's no incentive for landlords to be part of the program. One incentive that they should consider is compensating the landlord for the time that they're waiting to be approved. I think that's something that's a no-brainer. And, you know, I don't think cities will ever do that. But the point I'm making is there needs to be more incentive for landlords to participate. And, you know, here's the thing, right? If you as a landlord have 20 applicants, you're looking through the different applicants, you're screening, you're going through references, you're going through income verification and so forth, and you choose one of those 20, who's to say that you didn't choose somebody because they are on Section 8? It could be any reason. So I think the fact that they are trying to claim folks are discriminating is crazy. Maybe some folks are, but I don't think landlords should be forced to participate in the program and work with the government if they don't want to. And that's my thing. Someone could be denied for bad landlord references or having a lot of evictions. Like, they're only sharing one side of the story, which I think is problematic. And another thing is too, real estate is a business, all right? It's not a charity. Landlords need to assess the risk of taking on certain tenants. That's just a fact of the matter. There's a whole formula that goes into it to make the best judgment for who's going to pay the rent and not cause an issue. And for some landlords, myself included, working with the government is a risk. Working with the government, waiting forever to get approved and having someone, you know, monitor what it is you're doing inside of your real estate business, it's not advantageous for a lot of landlords. And I think landlords should have a choice. So I'm curious what you guys think. And, you know, I really don't think there's any way to prove someone was discriminated against, because you could have five well-qualified tenants for one vacancy and they all have the exact same qualifications and one is chosen. Can the other four say that they were discriminated against if they have the same exact profile as the one that was accepted? This is what they're not taking into account. And I feel really bad for these folks who are celebrating. You know, I'm sure that they had some not so great experiences, but I think, quite frankly, their celebration is premature. And, you know, there is not going to be much that changes for them if this thing does pass. Personally, I think the guy is trying to get votes and is pandering, in my opinion. This is just what happens, right? I think folks got to look at the bigger picture. Even if you are someone who might be impacted and maybe it's harder for you to get somewhere to rent because you have a voucher, it's not always about you, though. It's about the system at large, right? The system at large, the Section 8, the way it's run in most cities is a dumpster fire and it's terrible. So, you know, those are my thoughts. And this type of information, guys, is very important to take into account and to know. It's important for you to read up on articles, read up on laws, read up on what's changing in different cities. Because if you are looking to invest in certain places, you want to do your best to at least consider investing in places where the laws are in the favor of you as a landlord. It's a consideration that I recommend that you make. All right. And if you're somebody who lives in somewhere that's super expensive, or maybe it's not landlord friendly, and you want to learn how to invest outside of your immediate area, I encourage you to attend my workshop that I'm having starting on January 17th. We're going to talk about how you can buy your first out-of-state property in 2024. So we're going to talk about building your team, finding the right location, finding and analyzing deals, creative financing strategies, and so much more. So definitely make sure that you tap into that and that you apply. Go to outofstatemoney.com/workshop or click the link in the description. All right. So quick one. I just wanted to get that out there. Look forward to hearing what you think. Leave a 5-star rating and review. And in your review, let me know what you think of this episode. Let me know if you agree, if you disagree. Either way, it's all good. Looking forward to hearing from you all. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.